Please open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Hold your place there. We will go there in a moment of the sermon at one of the points. With great power, there must also come great responsibility. Many are known for making this quote. I've come to know it in the first Spider-Man movie. And it was first used, this quote, and I believe in Spider-Man's first comic in 1962. It's too bad Kobe's not here. I'd ask him. He would know. But we all possess something that has this great power, and it implies that we have great responsibility that comes with this power. It's our mouths. It's our tongues, if you will. You know, throughout my life, every time I got in trouble, you know why? My mouth. I said something I shouldn't have said. Sometimes I would backtalk Mama. Sometimes I'd say something insulting to someone else. But it would be my fault because I could not control my tongue. It's something that we must practice. And, you know, the Bible's very clear of what we can do with our tongues. We can be using our tongues for great things, such as teaching our children God's Word, Deuteronomy 6, or glorifying and praising the name of the Lord, Hebrews 13 and 15, or speaking wisdom and judgment, or teaching what He has done and can and will continue to do for our souls, Psalm 66 and 16. What about comforting and edifying one another? That's something that we should do with our tongues, 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Good words have great value and can produce much good in lives of men, Proverbs 25:11-12 teaches us. But, again, it comes with great responsibility because our tongues can be used for wickedness. Lying, deceit, false witness, blasphemy, backbiting, whispering, sowing discord. And our topic today, tale-bearing, slander. I can almost guarantee that nobody in this room has ever been guilty of this sin. I'm being very facetious. Actually, this sin is probably one of the most common sins in history of human. It begins in gossip, and then it grows, and it bears down, and then all of a sudden we intend to destroy somebody. The news today seems to fall in lines with this, so much so that it's really hard to tell what to believe. Ethical reporting investigates information and then verifies that evidence before making a public statement. Not so much today, is it? As soon as somebody whispers in one of the network's ears of what somebody could have done in such whatever time, it's all over the news without any kind of verification. Friends, that's called slander. The dictionary defines gossip or slander as rumor, report, tattle, or behind-the-scenes information, especially of an intimate or personal nature. Tale-bearers and slanderers are simply gossipers turned ugly. The difference between the two is intent. A tale-bearer or slanderer actively seeks to tear down. And it usually begins with anger or a reaction of a betrayal or because someone did something to me, I want to fight back and I'm going to determine to put something negative, some kind of brand on them that's negative to make me feel better. Some may think or say, you know what, I really don't have a problem with this. And that's true. Some have actually trained themselves, disciplined themselves, and slander has really become something that, you know, I don't really struggle with this, but true or false, the Bible warns us about this sin And because it does, there is a need to take heed to this warning. Yes or no?
I'm sure.
And so tonight, we're going to consider this temptation and the problems that come with it. And I've came up with four words that begin with the letter W that deal with this sin. And point number one, slander deals with words. Words. Words are used for communication. We're limited. You and I are limited to words in our communication to one another. We can't read each other's minds, though we think we can. We can't see the hearts of others. And the only way to know a thought or to know a man's intent is for it to be revealed in words. Well, Paul, according to 1 Corinthians 2, I hope you're there with me, look at verse 11, says, "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God." So the only way for us to know the mind of God is for it to be revealed in what? Words. This is God communicating to you and me. Let's read further, verse 12. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them." Why? "Because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Communication. We can only communicate through words. Now, someone would say, "Well, Brandon, I have a best friend, and we have this little secret handshake, or we have a secret nod, and we know exactly what that means." But again, it goes back to words. When I see my friend do whatever signal we have, and we know what it means because it's related to the words that we've conveyed to each other. Sometimes people will slander God, claiming that God, outside of this book, will speak to me in a dream, or perhaps he will whisper in my ear and talk to me, but that's not true. This is how God speaks to us. The Hebrews writer says this, "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets." The prophets would convey to the audience words. "Hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son," the words of his Son, "whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds." In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is, or was, God. John 1:1. So, even when the Lord spoke to mankind by using visions or dreams or a burning bush or a donkey, he always used words to deliver his will or his message to mankind. You see, without words, there's no communication. Therefore, we see the great power inherited in words. So that's how we communicate, but it's also used for expression. Words are the expression of the heart. What did Jesus say? "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Right? Matthew 12:34. And so what comes from the mouth is the expression of the heart. And when this is evil, it defiles the man. You know, it's been said that the eyes are the windows of the soul. But the Bible teaches different. The Bible teaches us that our words are the windows to the heart. And judgment will be rendered upon us upon the words that you and I speak. This is what Jesus said again. But I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by the words thou shalt be justified, and by the words thou shalt be condemned. Hence, we can use our tongues for good, and we can use it for evils. Now, let's talk about the warnings the Bible has about this. Sin, slander. And the first warning is danger. There's a danger. We are warned of the dangers of talebearing and slander all through Proverbs, all through the Old Testament, all through the New Testament, which we'll look at some verses here. I believe I listed them there in the bulletin. But through Proverbs, it says this, "He that hides hatred with lying lips, and he that utters a slander is a fool." You know, some people may hate me with a passion, but to my face, they're going to treat me like a brother. Does that not happen today? Of course it does. Absolutely. But also here in Proverbs 11:13, a talebearer reveals secrets. But he that is of a faithful spirit conceals the matter. Hey, you know what so-and-so did? That's a talebearer. But if I learn something of a brother or sister, a sin that he or she committed, I'm not going to go around and tell people. Because I love them. And I'm not going to ruin her reputation or his reputation just for the sake of being a talebearer or for the sake of conversation. Also here, Proverbs 20:19, "He that goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, therefore meddle not with them that flatters with his lips." Really, that's the reason why there's gossip today, right? We got to find something to talk about. But God has always condemned this. In fact, Leviticus 19:16, he says, "Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord." Or other words, you could say, "Because I said so." The psalmist says, "Whoso privily slanders his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer." There's a warning about being a talebearer. What does the New Testament say? Paul telling Timothy, "Even so must their wives." The qualification of elders, yes, there's listed. But you know there's qualification for elders' wives too? "Even so must their wives be grave and not" what? "Slanderers. Sober, faithful in all things." But friends, it's not limited to an elder's wife. Someone say, "Well, I'm not an elder's wife. Doesn't apply to me." Not so. Second Timothy 3:1-4, "This know also, in the last days perilous times shall come." Look at this. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God." There's warnings about this. So there are dangers, but there are also warnings of destruction. The words of the talebearer are spoken for the destruction of the victim. Proverbs 18:8 says, "The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly." You know what's very interesting? I have it up there, I believe, that the same words are uttered in chapter 26 and 22. Two verses, same words. Gossip causes deep wounds to the defenseless victim. And it's so easy, unfortunately, it's so easy to utter such words, and then the result is the damage that's not curable. Where no wood is, the fire goeth out. So where there is no tale bearer, the strife ceaseth. The man who receives stolen goods is no better than the thief if he knows or believes them to be stolen. You realize that? I get a great deal on a certain thing that I want, later find out it's stolen and I do nothing about it. I'm just as bad or guilty as that thief who sold it to me. When someone comes to me and says, you know what so-and-so did, or I can't believe so-and-so did this, stop, please, don't tell me. Because the damage is incurable. I'm going to look at that person from now on, and all I'm going to think about is the negativity that was just brought to me. How unfair that is. How damaging that is. That's why the Proverbs writer compares wood that fire. Well, there's no wood. The fire's gone. So gossip would soon go out of business if there was no market for the product, right? Sure. Absolutely. So there's warnings of danger, destruction, and also, friends, there's warnings of death. Warnings of death. Proverbs again, 18, 4 through 7. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. It is not good to accept the person of the wicked, to overthrow the righteous in judgment. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calls for strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction. His lips are the snare of his soul. You see, friends, a godly person who has spent years studying God's Word and then serving Him faithfully will have the right perspective of things and can give really good or great even advice. But the fool will say whatever it takes to get his way with no regard of the damage it inflicts. And, friends, it will be to his end. There's a warning of death here. Again, he warns this, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Words can kill or heal. In other words here, if they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof, the words. In other words, if I'm going to eat my words, I might as well make my words delicious, right? Sure. Make them edible. Make them to where I do not regret saying anything. Words we can't take back. We can apologize for them, and we're supposed to forget, right? But are we not human? Sure. The damage is there. The damage has been done. Which brings me to the point number three, the wounds of slander. The wounds of slander, the first thing that's hurt is reputation. There are several reputations at stake when one is involved in slander. There's the damage to the reputation of the victim. There's damage to the reputation of the teller and the hearer, and then the church, and then God. God called His people to be different, to be the light in the darkness. And if you and I, as Christians, are involved in this sin, whether we're telling something or we're receiving something, that hurts our reputation. It hurts the church. And in other people's eyes, it hurts God. Another wound, character. The victim of slander is not given a choice or a voice in the matter, is he or she? You know who else who does not have a choice or a voice in the matter in which they suffer? A murder victim. Victimhood in general. Anything that can cause us to be a victim, we have no choice of. But slander is just as bad. And so before I say anything to anybody that it might be slander or something like that, this is what I need to ask myself, some questions I need to ask myself before I speak anything. Number one, is it kind or is it mean-spirited? Is it intended to injure or is it intended to help? Perhaps this question should have been the first. Is it true? And if it's not true, a whole nother sin is involved. Is it necessary? Is it being told just for the sake of telling, or is it the telling of it going to be beneficial to the person? Reporters use these phrases. You'll see on the news, inquiring minds want to know, or the people have a right to know. Ever heard that before? First off, I never thought or felt that, and my mind is certainly not inquiring about the situation. Because those who have inquiring minds, they need to channel their efforts to better godly concerns, right? And the people certainly do not have a right to know personal matters that pertain to gossip. Character. Another wound, consideration. Have we thought about the many things of which Jesus was accused by people who must have appeared to be credible sources? I mean, think about it. Jesus was accused of being a drunkard. He was accused of being a traitor, a blasphemer, a heretic, demon-possessed, Sabbath breaker, ignorant, friend of publicans and sinners, and you can add to that list. Accusations made by credible sources, religious leaders at the time. It has to be true, right? But you and I know that Jesus wasn't any of those things. None of that was true. And so that teaches you and me that not even Jesus is immune to this kind of sin or the dangers of this sin, the results of this sin. Because the religious leaders are teaching, and this Jesus here, he's not the Son of God. It hurt many other people. Consider the facts. Do we understand that people who are completely innocent of false charges are also still victims of those charges nevertheless? Absolutely. Words of slander always injure. And it's like a forest fire. Hard to put out. And so, before it even becomes that, you and I need to put a stop to it. And that brings me to my fourth and final point, which is wisdom. And what I mean by that, things that you and I should do rather than being involved in the slander. The first thing is avoid. Completely avoid it. Stay away from the telling and the hearing altogether. And if there's something that's being told that shouldn't be going around, you and I just need to not be in that situation. I'd rather not know. And if someone comes to me and says, you know what brother so-and-so did, please don't be offended if I said, please don't tell me. Because if you can't tell me when he's standing right here, you can't tell me face-to-face when he's not here. Certainly unfair. Certainly damaging. And I don't mean that to be ugly. I mean that to help you and me. Again, Proverbs 20:19. He that goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, meddle not with them that flatters with his lips. Avoid them. Don't even meddle in it. 1 Peter 4:15, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a what? getting into other people's business when we ought not get into anybody else's business. Mind your own business, I guess would be an easier way to say it. Sometimes people look for, search, dig, try to find the dirtiest of the dirty. Why are we doing that? Personal gain, I guess. But friends, I'm here to tell you that's more damaging than help. It hurts the one being victimized and it hurts the one spreading the rumor. So avoid that situation. The second point here, love. Love. We must love the Lord. We must love other people. We must love souls. And remember I said at the beginning of the sermon that we, our communication is limited to words. And remember what Paul said to the Ephesians, chapter 4, 29 and following, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Love. Love is going to keep us away from slander. We don't want to know the dirt. I don't want to know if anyone is in sin or doing some sinful activities. I don't want to know it. The only reason I would want to know it is to help them go back to the straight and narrow if need be. But if you find out about it, you go to that person alone. And if he or she don't hear you, if he or she does hear you, you've gained your brother or sister. But if she don't or he don't, take two or three with you. Not to point at that person, not to make them feel belittled because of what they're doing, not to push them away. The focus is to get them back, the love. You see me do something, you love me and you tell me, Brandon, you ought not be doing that. But the most hateful thing you could do was start going to each individual and say, you know what Brandon did? Ain't he supposed to be the preacher? I would never do that. And if I do, forgive me. But there's a temptation there. And if we love each other, it's not likely going to happen. And number three, we pray. We pray. We must pray for others rather than maliciously attack others. In fact, one wise man said this to me, it's really hard to attack someone or hate someone for whom you are praying. If you're praying for me, it's really hard to attack me. I can't think of a more hypocritical thing anyone could do to another human being. I'm praying for you, and then you go talk to someone else about that individual. Jesus said, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. But the temptation is, that person is doing this to me. And then we brand that individual and then dig deep and find dirty things about that individual. And when that individual is condemned for any reason, instead of feeling sorrowful for that person, we celebrate. That's unwise. Considering the fact that we're commanded to love one another. So the warnings are clear.
Do not partake in talebearing or slander, whether it's telling or receiving. And it would be wise to ask the one speaking to lovingly, politely stop and let them know the damage that could occur. And let's consider those damages that it can cause. Words have power. We used to say as kids, maybe, I don't know, maybe it's just me, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt. Or we would say, I'm rubber, you're glue, whatever you say bounces off me and sticks to you. Those statements couldn't be further from the truth. Words can hurt. But they can also help. Speaking of the Word, what God has said is very profitable unto us. And He loves us so much that He communicates with us through His Son. Sent His Son to die for us, to tell us how much He loves us. From that action. And through that Word, that's where our faith comes, Romans 10:17. And the question comes, do you believe it with all your heart? And if so, why don't you follow it and obey it, what He says? Repent of your sins and live for Jesus Christ. If you're struggling with slander, you know, we can stop that today. We can, I guess what Don Knotts would say, nip it in the bud. Stop it. Repent. And if you're not a Christian and your faith comes by hearing, you believe what it says, you repent of your sins, you confess Jesus as the Son of God, which He is, confession made unto salvation, and that next step, be immersed in the water for the remission of sins. Romans 6 teaches us that's how we come in contact with the blood. Live faithfully unto death. But if you're struggling, friends, we're all here to help each other. This is, in fact, a hospital for the spiritually sick. And if you're spiritually sick tonight, we hope that you make things right. Be reconciled unto God before it's everlasting too late. Come forward as we stand and sing.